If you don't know the substance of that, it's from Psalm 51 and the prayer of David in regards to his confession and sin regarding Bathsheba, and we're going to touch on that again even this morning. This is part three. If you missed the first two, see those who are technically able, and they can instruct you how to locate and listen to the first two. But this is part three of obstruction or opportunity. I'm beginning with Colossians chapter 3, and this is verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Where do you wear your clothes? On the outside. So what should be evident? These very attributes, these very characteristics. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Oh, what an important statement that is. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, which is the church, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We've been talking about forgiveness. And I promised you some more information this morning, and I'm about to deliver it. So listen up, right? You know, God is really faithful to forgive us and to remember our sins no more. The scriptures say that in Psalm 103, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from Him, from us. And I like what it says in Micah. This is good. Hurled all our iniquities in the depths of the sea. I had a song I used to sing years ago in an old songbook. My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, down deep in the sea. I'm not singing anymore, that's it. But that's the way it went. It gives you quite an idea to think, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. And blessed is the man whose sins are remembered no more. Question. Do you mean that an omniscient God who knows everything from beginning to end forgets stuff? He just forgets it? It just doesn't exist? No, that's not the answer. God knows every thought you ever thought, every word you ever spoke. He knows all about you. You're an open book, beginning to end. And so what does it mean then that I remember Him no more? How can God do that? How can He just forget? Well, what it's pointing to is the idea that it means that this one who has done something wrong and has offended God, and remember this, you might be thinking about people and the church and your world and your job and things like that, but every sin is an offense to God. So while it may involve other people or persons, it has to do directly with God, and that's what David pointed out. My sin is ever before you, Psalm 51. So it means that God's focus is no longer the wrath that is due the person who has done the wrong. He has taken that wrath and set it aside. And he is no longer allows that which we have done to interfere or come between our relationship with him. In other words, it's a full restoration. It's not a loss of memory, but it's as if it never happened. It means judicially, we say, well, do you have a record? You know, we're talking about police record. Call him up and say, you know, does so-and-so have a police record? Well, yes, he's got a record this long. Here's what he's done. In God's world, the record is clean. The slate is clean. It's not that it didn't happen. It's not that God has loss of memory. It's he treats us by as if it never happened. He sets it aside and he directs, instead of him, his wrath toward us, he directs his blessings and love toward us. Grasp that. Get a hold of that. Be blessed by that and say, thank you, Lord. Blessed is a man whose sins are forgiven. And that's what he said in Hebrews 8 and verse 12. I will forgive their wickedness and I'll remember their sins no more. Now let me just give you a quick example. King David, there's a good example. David and Bathsheba, there's a story from your Bible. Without spending time on the event itself, let's just look at David. Let's look at what has happened here. One, he's had a lustful affair. Two, he committed adultery. Three, he murdered him. Four, he lives in hypocrisy. You say, how do you know that? Well, because a period of time went by when he was living as if it didn't happen. He was living ignoring it. He was living hoping nobody would ever find out. He thought that he had the perfect cover-up. He forgot that God is a witness to everything that happens. And finally, Nathan comes on the scene and tells him a little story about a man, a rich man who has a friend that comes to town. And although the rich man has all kinds of animals to sacrifice, he goes down the street and finds the poor man who only has one lamb and takes it away from him and offers it as a banquet dinner for his friend. And David is so enraged, he said, let me at him. Nathaniel said, you're the man. And then the veil came down. The facade went away, and he knew that God knew and that his sin was against God. You can't hide it. You better deal with it because God knows about it. So here we have a man that's, I mean, look at this list. We think, well, you know, his life is over. There's nothing you can do with a person like that. What are you going to do with someone with a resume like that? Unless there's a change, unless there's forgiveness, unless there's restoration, his life's over, so to speak. It's one black dot, blob of sin. But I want you to know this. God gave him absolute full forgiveness. God gave him a return. As he returned to the paths of obedience, God supported him. God restored him to the highest level of usefulness. Not something less than, not just a second class citizen, not saying because of the things you've done, you can't be who I want you to be, or you can't attain that, or you can't be used at that level anymore. And then I open my Bible, and here's a great big segment in the middle of my Bible called Psalms. Psalms of David. The director of music, a Psalm of David, 140. Psalm 141, a Psalm of David. 142, when he was in a cave, a prayer, a Psalm of David. What? Why would I read anything written by someone who's had an affair, who's an adulterer, who's a murderer, and a hypocrite? Unless the slate is clean. Why would I sing any song he ever wrote? Ha! Who is he to write music? And if you want to add another little log to that fire, I would add the Apostle Paul, who by his own confession says, I was a murderer, I was a blasphemer, I was a violent man, but God showed me great grace, although I am consider myself the worst of sinners. God used me as an example to tell you that God's forgiveness is full restoration. And the record is clear. And if I just looked at the resume of Apostle Paul in the negative side, why would I believe anything he has to say? And who is he to preach to me? If he was a man on the scene today, we'd say, you're not preaching to me. I know your history. Are you with me? We're just getting warmed up. So this is what God is doing. Then he turns right around and he looks straight at us. And he says, I want you to forgive as I forgive. Not just any kind of forgiveness, but as I forgive. Okay, Lord, how do I do that? The commandment comes here in Matthew 6. This is the end of so many say the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. How's it end? And what's the verse after that? Well, here's the verses that follow it. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men with their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So you can pray, forgive my sins as I forgive others, but if you're not forgiving others, God says, why should I forgive you? How is your forgiveness the same as mine? You want to use a different standard to deal with the people around you than what you want from me. You have an expectation for me, and you're blessed by it, and you rejoice in it, and then you turn around and you go out and use a different standard for those that are your neighbors or in the church. How can you do that? In Matthew 18, verse 35, that's the end of a parable. The parable is simple enough. Jesus tells about the man who owed so much that he went before the king. He had an unbearable burden, an unpayable one. And the king had mercy and compassion on him and says, I forgive you all your debt. And he went out and found his neighbor who owed just a little. He only had one or two things there. What didn't amount to a whole lot in comparison to what God, this king had forgiven. And he grabs that guy by the throat and says, you better pay up. I have a different standard than what I just received. My standard with you is you either pay up now or you're going in debtor's prison. And the king calls him back in and says, what? How does this work? Let's revisit this again. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, verse 35. Unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And from Colossians, we just read in chapter 3, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So that's where we get the whole idea of obstruction or opportunity. Because when things happen between people, immediately there's an obstruction. They hurt my feelings. They did this. They didn't do that. They either did something or admitted something. Or the church is not behaving like it should. Or it's not treating me like I want to be treated. Or the list is endless. You just make up your own. Fill in the blank. So there's an instant obstruction. And we've dealt with this before, and we said if this obstruction continues, and that's all we live with, and we zero in on, and we won't let go of, then that obstruction is not hurting so much the other person or persons, it's hindering our prayers. It's hindering our relationship. It's hindering your walk with God. And in fact, if you cannot deal with the problems with your own brother, you cannot say, I love God, because you don't. By God's definition, not mine, 1 John chapter 4. You can spend some time there reading it. So don't come to church and say, oh, I love you, Lord. Okay, that's good. I hope you do. But where's the insides of that? Where's the core of that? Where's the meat of that? It's in how you treat one another. And that's why he said the world's going to see the difference in the kingdom of God versus the world, because the disciples love one another. And they're going to love as God loves. And they're going to forgive as God forgives. And they're going to have compassion as God has compassion. Because their whole ideal is to surrender self and be like Jesus. That's you and me. We bought into that when we said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We bought into that when we said, I surrender to the Lord. We bought into that when we were buried in the waters of baptism. We died and we were buried and rose to walk in newness of life. And he said, it's not me that lives in him anymore. It's Christ Jesus lives in me. Well, if it's Christ Jesus living in me, then what's the expression that I can't forgive my brother? Where'd that come from? It's an obstruction. What I want to change for that this morning, the next few minutes that we have, I want you to see what an opportunity it is. An opportunity. Because the first response to the irritations of life and the problems that people have one another, and that can be at home, that can be at work, and certainly can be in church, wherever it is, because people are people. We always have a saying, and I hope you'll take this right. Ministry is a lot of fun if it weren't for people. Yeah, if it weren't for people. But here's the thing. In the obstruction, if we stay with that, in spite of what God has done for me, and in spite of what God commands of me, my response to that is, I won't. I just won't. And that's why Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? I'm not your Lord. If in your vocabulary there exists this phrase, I won't. They don't go together. Then there's the opportunity. So one is the obstruction, and that would be the Pharisees' view of the first lady we talked about, and that is, she's caught in adultery, let's stone her. And then there's Jesus' response on various occasions, which he treats it as an opportunity. The divine response is different than the human response. The human response says, I won't do that. The divine response, Jesus in you, responds this way. Hear it. I can't, Lord. But with your help, I will. Because forgiveness at God's level, found in and through people, is only done or accomplished with divine help. You aren't going to do this alone. You'll never be successful in obeying the command without divine help. So I've added this, hypocrisy or honesty. Oh, we love this word, hypocrisy. A bunch of hypocrites, you know. Those people down there are hypocrites. Well, workplaces full of hypocrites too. And Kmart's full of hypocrites. And here's a hypocrite, and there's a hypocrite, and everywhere's a hypocrite. But how do you define hypocrite? There's the interesting part. How did we define it? All right. When he gave us this idea of clothing ourselves from Colossians 3, he said, clothe yourself with gentleness and the graces of God. Well, the clothes are on the outside. I picked out all my clothes by way of my wife. Just so you know that, you know, how that comes about. And the clothes are on the outside. All I can see as I look out over you is the outside. I can't see your heart. I can't see your thoughts. I can't see your attention. I can see whether your eyes are open or not, so don't go to sleep. Maybe, if I'm not watching, you know. But the fact of the matter is, when he talks about clothing myself, he means putting it on the outside. So let's see if we can just work this a little bit and see the difference. God has said, on the outside, I'm to clothe myself with forgiveness. Inside, I don't like you. You irritate me. You always irritate me. Seems like every time I'm in the same room with you, my sky gets cloudy and stormy, and I'm upset, and I wish I were somewhere else. It's all because of you. But God has commanded that I forgive you. God has commanded that I love you. God has commanded that I am to pour out grace to you as a vessel of God. And how am I going to do that? Because inside, I don't feel that way. And someone said, well, you better not act like it, because if you do, you're wrong. Wrong. Here's why. I'm going to go to prayer this morning on my knees, and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to church today, and there's going to be a certain individual there, and we've just never seen eye to eye. He's just kind of an irritant in my life. But Lord, I want you to help me to love them. I want the very best for them. He says, pray for your enemies. Do good for them that persecute you, despitefully use you. On the outside, I'm going to hug them, smile, shake their hand, bless them. On the inside, I'm saying, Lord, create in me a new heart. Let your love change not them, change me. I'm not responsible for what you do. If you want to go on being a cranky idiot, go ahead. That's the way I see you. And I can't change you. If I could, I would have done it long time ago. I don't have that ability. I only have me. And God says, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from your heart. And Lord, I don't like them, but I'm going to love them, and I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to be there for them, and I'm going to put on the outside all the graces of God on their behalf. And in the interim, Lord, you're going to change my heart. For the Holy Spirit is given, empowered to work within you, workings of God, changing the heart of man, creating a new response. And in the end, I found a new friend in Christ, someone that I didn't see the good side of them. I've only seen the bad things that I've been keeping track of. But now I want to love them, Lord, and I want you to help me. Is that hypocrisy? No, that's honesty. Get it right. Now let me talk about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, you came in the door. You knew very well that things are out of order. You knew very well that there's people that you have unresolved issues with. There are things that go back. There's churches out there that years ago, they said, well, they need a minister. I said, I'm not going there. Why aren't you going there? They need a minister. They've got issues that are older than I am. Why do they have issues older than I am? Because they've been coming to church all those years, singing the songs, reading their Bible. I love you, Lord. And they don't love God. And they're not going to love God because they don't love one another. And I don't have the power to change that. I'm too young in the ministry to go solve their issues. So they'll just have to deal with it without a minister. It's hypocrisy for you to come in here and say all is well with the Lord when it's not. That everything is kosher with God when in the closet there are all these things that you haven't dealt with. And if forgiveness and forbearance is not your way of life, you need to adopt that right away. But hypocrisy isn't me loving someone that I don't love. If I've been honest with God in the background that said, help me, Lord, to love them. That's honesty, not hypocrisy. I call it develop a walk on water faith. You know why? Because when Jesus talked to the disciples about forgiveness, this is in Luke 17, it's not on your board. In Luke 17, you can look it up. He says, you know, if they repent, you forgive them seven times. And the disciples immediately said, we won't do that. No, they didn't. We can't do that. Well, in so many words they did. What did they say? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Because you're talking about something that's too heavy for me. I can't humanly do that. I need your help. And it's just like crawling out of that boat and walking on the water. We say, wow. I'll tell you what wows God. It's not walking on water. It's forgiving a brother. That's walking on water. From God's point of view. So if you want to bless God and you want to honor God, this is the way to do it. It's the number one item. Put that at the top of your list. Get it right. I read of a lady that imminent return of Jesus was at hand, and she was told that he'd be at her door at 3:00. And she ran about enthusiastically, getting her house in order. And the knock came at 3:00. And there at the door was someone, was an angry, bitter, cold, frowning, grotesque-looking person. And she shouted out, who are you? And Jesus said, didn't you expect me to be here? Well, you're not the real Christ. You're absolutely right. I'm not. I'm the Christ everyone sees in you. So where are you going with Christ? Let's walk the walk of love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. You can't do that and not forgive. You can't do that without setting aside the issues and treating that person as if it never happened. Not forgetting it. You can't do that any more than God forgets. But it no longer becomes your focus. Your focus is in loving them. Your focus is restoration. Your focus is treating them as a brother and sister in Christ. And their talents, whatever they might be, Lord bless them. And if David writes music, I'll sing it. The Apostle Paul preaches a lesson, I'll listen to it. Not because of who they are and what they've done, but who they are because of what God has done. And I love God. Who do you love? Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us together. And Lord, how great is your love. How great is your mercy and compassion. We're overwhelmed. Our need is more than can be expressed. Help us, Lord, not to see this speck in someone else's life, but, Lord, to realize that we need to look in our own mirror and be thankful for the grace and mercy that you've extended to us. Help us, Lord, to clothe ourselves on the outside with what we're able to do, knowing that in our prayers and openness to you, honest before you, you're going to change our heart. You're going to create in us the being you want us to be. You did it for David. You did it for the Apostle Paul. You'll surely do it for us. Bless us to our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.